Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining me this week on Tia Time. We'll get to the show in just a moment. First, I wanted to say thank you to all of you who have posted a rating on Apple Podcast. Apple Podcast is an app that can be downloaded to your phone or computer. The algorithm it uses allows more artists and art enthusiasts like yourselves to hear about the show. So if you haven't posted a rating yet, do it now. Thank you. On with the show. Welcome to Tia Time with Artists, the weekly podcast where we discuss the methods, challenges, and real-life experiences of living our creative dreams. What kind of creative warrior are you? Musician, filmmaker, painter, choreographer, poet, sculptor, fashionista? Let's talk about it right now. I'm your host, Tia Imani Hanna. Welcome to Tia Time with Artists, and my guest today is Tariq Gardner, who is an amazing drummer and composer and arranger and all-around amazing instrumentalist. So welcome to Tia Time. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I got to see you working with my Aunt Naima Chamberger on her Young Lions project. Tell us a little bit about how that came to be.
It came to be, she really wanted to do something as an homage to Jerry Allen. She's, you know, fantastic Detroit legacy pianist. And she was very much about, Jerry was very much about bringing on the newer generation, the younger generation under her wing and giving them opportunities. And Naima's, that's right, of Naima's Sam Alley. So she just got together a whole bunch of us young musicians from the city and really just wanted to see what we have and put some of our music out there in the world.
Okay. Is there any particular tune on that you composed that was on that CD?
Yes, on that CD, a composition of mine entitled See a New Day was on there. I wrote that as it's like a suicide awareness song. I wrote it in honor of one of my friends who passed a few years ago in my freshman year in college.
And that was a suicide, huh?
Yes.
So what did See a New Day, what was the message that you were trying to get across? There weren't any lyrics to this song. So what was...
No lyrics. What it signified really for me was trials and tribulations come on the day-to-day. But it's important to be able to see what comes next, because the farther things spiral down, the higher than they can also spiral up. It's always a two-way street in terms of life. So I try to keep myself reminding of that, and anybody else that's struggling with that type of thing, mental illness.
Okay. So what kinds of things, like I know during COVID, a lot of us have been, or pretty much all of us have been locked down and a lot of the gigs got canceled. And has this been a time for you to write more or to just to fight depression, or what kinds of things are you doing to keep your mental health strong?
Yeah, a lot of my time just to keep things on the up and up mentally. A lot of it has been writing music. I've been doing some more producing. A lot of ideating with a couple of my like closer friends that are in my germ pie, do play and make some music together. And honestly, I got back into exercise a lot heavier during COVID. It really does it's really done me a lot of good in terms of keeping my mind clear and just like keeping the ideas that I want for when I want them to come out instead of them just rolling around in there.
Okay, sure. So what does a day look like for you right now during COVID? Yeah, walk me through a day.
See, a day right now, I'll get up before afternoon, mostly before noon. I'll try to be good about that. And I'll hit some exercises, do some burpees, myself sweating, and then get to the drum set. And I start warming up, start my warm up, and might listen to some stories. That's another thing that I do is pass the day by a little bit, listen to some stories. Then I live with my folks, which is great, living in an artistic household. So, you know, I talk to my mother and my father. My mother's Marion Hayden. She's a bassist. So I'll ask her if she needs any assistance with certain of her, like, teaching or musical responsibilities. I'm on deck as tech support, basically.
Okay.
So I get to do some of that. And then with my father, he's an abstract painter and a sculptor. So a lot of my work from him will end up going to his studio, moving just a lot of wood around or cleaning stuff up. So that'll be a pretty good time. Then I might eat a lot.
Okay, I can see that.
At some point, you know.
Are you a healthy eater or are you a junk food junkie?
I try to keep things balanced. I try to keep my earlier in the day eating just pretty much limited to some apples or some just fruits and vegetables so that I can just eat terrible food late at night. I can just coney myself to sleep.
So are you a true jazz musician? Are you a true night owl or did you try to get up before noon? You know, do you the late night better than the morning?
Yeah, I really like the late night. I'm really like nocturnal, especially in terms of things like writing and ideating, because I find that's when a lot of my muses tend to come. And especially when you really get started working on something, the night can just melt away really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just be on an idea and putting harmony to a melody or putting a rhythm together. You know, other things, and you just look up and it's 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah. So are you, when you're writing, in one of those programs, one of the orchestration type programs, or are you just writing by hand and recording things? How are you doing it?
I do a pretty mixed bag, but typically I have software. I use Sibelius, but typically I use that for things like transcription or really after it's like down on paper already. I normally will like handwrite something first and then put it into my software after I have it basically complete. Or then I also sing it to my phone, use voice memos, but then there's the whole process of actually putting it down and I'm like, was that really what I was trying to do? And having to flesh it out. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty varied. I think it does good for the whole neuroplasticity thing.
Well, for sure. Do you find that you do this every day? Do you write every day or put voice memos down every day? Or is it just more of a when the muse hits thing for you?
A lot of times it's when the muse hits. I'm not super structured about it at this point. But I do feel like I'm pretty consistent in terms of having a few ongoing compositions that I have in the works. There's a few, like right now for me, my newest challenge is starting to do things like songwriting and like lyric writing. That's never come very easy to me. So stuff like that is a little more ongoing because I'm just out here trying not to be corny. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Well, yeah, I always struggle with when people say corny because I never know what that is. Because, I don't know, when I was coming up, people would say corny if it actually did have meaning or if it was sweet or if it was about something beautiful, they thought it was corny. And then as they got older, then that wasn't corny anymore. So I never know, you know, what corny is. So what in your definition is corny at this point in time?
To me, it's pretty subjective, but It's along those lines of what she said a little bit. I don't know. I for sure believe that it's important to have music that's sweet and meaningful. But I think that, like, at the point, for me at least, this point in time, I think the need for that is necessary to have, like, several maybe strings of meaning. I feel like corny to me means it's just not clever enough, maybe. There might not be enough double entendre, or there's like maybe the sentiment can be used in a more contemporary turn of phrase that's kind of like within the zeitgeist more technically.
Okay. You know? Okay. So with more within the current zeitgeist, is that what you mean? Like it's more current phrases and things that you could use.
Yeah. If it's, Because there's nothing that Stevie Wonder's ever wrote that's corny, but they all speak to some deeper things and some deeper meanings. That's like trying to cut into that crust of what that is for me as a songwriter.
Mm-hmm. Is there any? Do you think of a topic first, or do you just hear a melody or a rhythm? Is it a moving meditation? Because I know when I write, it tends to be because I'm walking down the street. And then I have a rhythm that I'm walking to. And then that creates a bass line. And then that creates, or it's just a melody. And then I build from the melody. But for me, I know if I'm walking, I'm going to get something.
It is.
Yeah. I like so that. How does it hit you?
It can hit me in a few different ways. Like in terms of like lyrics, it just kind of has to pop into my head, and you know it's normally just starting with a phrase or something like that, but that's still something I'm fleshing out in general, lyric writing. But in terms of something like compositionally, like starting from the piano, I typically will go from harmony first. I'll go from like chord changes first, and from there like I can make a melody, and from there think of how I want it to show itself by virtue of rhythm. I have a few compositions that are just like, I just started as just neat voicings I was doing. And then after so long, I was like, you know what? This is like a whole song. Or also other times I tend to write songs like for people. Like I have like a lot of my songs are end up being dedications. So when I think of somebody, like what comes to mind or like, how would they do this? Like, I'm really into, especially like writing songs for some of my musician friends too, because I have them, they're playing in mind. Mm-hmm. I think about the melody that they might, there's a few different ways. Sometimes it might just come out of a dream. Sometimes it might be because I'm just exhausted and and a little bit delirious.
I've had that happen. You know what? Not always bad. So I know there's, stories of famous jazz composers who they'll go to sleep, and I can't remember who it is right now, but he told the story, and it was somebody like Horace Silver or somebody of that, you know, that stature.
Yeah.
And he went to sleep, he had a dream, he heard this beautiful melody, he wrote it down, and then he went back to sleep so he could develop it in the morning. And then he came back and he was so excited about it, and he's playing it, and he says, oh man, I thought this was a new song. This was Autumn Leaves or something like that. So it was like, that does happen. That's happened to me too. I thought I wrote something beautiful and then found out it's some other song that I already was playing or something like that. But it's just in there. Yeah. No, that's great. So you come from harmony or melody or chordal structure first, but it doesn't ever come from rhythm as a drummer first.
In a lot of ways, I feel like that aspect can always be generally added, and the melody aspect always inherently has a rhythmic aspect. So for me, it's just like choosing my flavor, because there can be any song can be had in so many different types of feels, and so many feels can feel right for a song. Like especially coming up with so many songs that can like swing song can speak just as much in a Latin vibe or even as a ballad. or a certain song sound just as good in a hip hop vibe as they do in a swing circumstance. So I leave it up to who I'm collaborating with at the time and what their strong suits may be.
Okay.
As for like how I'm gonna interpret it. But typically if I'm thinking about like maybe something going into the studio, I definitely will have something specific in mind.
Okay.
But there's a lot of options. There's a lot of options.
Mm-hmm. You're in an artistic household for sure. So just listening to Hanging Out With Mom growing up, was that like, oh, I'm going to play these drums so I can play with Mom? Or what pushed you to the drums as opposed to like playing the bass or playing the piano or a horn or something?
The drums always seemed like that option for me, oddly enough. Like I would always be, when I was like a very small child, I'd be sitting on the drummer's lap when we were in rehearsal. I guess they were just giving my mother a break because I was just clingy baby out here. But I'm just used to like that point of view of being in front of the drums or being behind the drums and just moving your limbs. And I just really love how much that feeling communicates. And so Galen McKinney gave me my first drum set at the age of 3. I don't know what I did on it, but I've always had drums around me and some rhythm rhythms to imitate. I've been like a rehearsal kid all my life, going to rehearsals and going to concerts. Might not have known like the gravity of some of the concerts that I had attended, but just being there and soaking it up, I've always known, you know, what I wanted to play, how I wanted to deliver it as the rhythm keeper.
It's a testament to good example for parenting and the village raising a youth, because you had these aunties around and uncles around and who came and played music in your house, or you were there at their houses or at rehearsals and at concerts, and lots of exposure, because you also had your dad with the art and everything. So I'm, you know, surprised that's not happening too. You're not like painting and playing with one hand and drumsticking with the other hand. It still could happen.
It's a definite possibility. On that side, I feel like a lot of what I end up getting from my father and his art is like the aesthetic, is just the aesthetic process of like how vast and wide like just art can be. How much can be said through like movement, through what is a shape and what is a line, what is a texture. That's a lot of what ends up speaking to me through his art. And of course, I do doodle in my free time. But so between him and my older brother, I just feel like there's enough visual art going on around this whole.
So you had to represent on the other side.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's good.
Uh-huh.
That's good. What projects are you wanting to do that you haven't had a chance to do yet?
This year, I was planning on recording my first album as a leader. So that ship blew off with the wind there. But I'm really excited to get in the studio and record that when the time comes, because I have about 15 to 20 compositions. And so I'm excited be able to narrow it down a little bit and figure out what I want to record. Mm-hmm. With my group. I'm really excited to be doing things with my group again too, since a couple venues are opening back up. I have some songs that I do in different versions, different reharmonizations. I'm really looking forward to having that out there and just hearing some of the cast interpretations of it, as far as my group goes. And then otherwise, I'm just really excited for a couple of other groups that I'm in. I'm in a really good friend of mine, Mario Sulixana's. I'm on his album. We actually recorded that. We managed to hammer that one out in January. So that's going to be coming actually pretty soon before the end of the year. So I'm excited to see what comes of that. And I'm working with a really great artist out of Ann Arbor and her group, Danny Darling. And we're going to be getting in the studio for one of her newer projects in the next couple months. So I'm really looking forward to that.
What's the name of your group? Is Evening Star, or
yes.
Is that the group that you're recording? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Tariq Gardner's Evening Star.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then I think you sent me a track. What's the name of that track?
I sent you the track entitled, I think I sent you a couple. I sent you Angel Girl.
Okay. Is that the Evening Star group?
These are some of my produced tracks. I produce on Logic. These things can be found on my SoundCloud.
Mm.
That's on my SoundCloud, Rick Passion, R-I-Q Passion.
All right, that's a different project. So you're producing through Logic. What does that mean? It means it's just you and the computer, or you and keyboards, or how does that work?
Yeah, so that's the software that I'm using for production. And so typically I'm just using like a MIDI converter just to plug my computer directly into the keyboard, and I'm just hammering out just from some of their sound samples, their sound libraries, making melodies and chords and beats. And then I've also taken up this year recording some live drums just in lieu of everything becoming virtual. So there's a couple tracks that are going to be coming out that I've made. One is called The Fugitive, and that's gonna be releasing very soon, where I created the track and I'm just playing some drums over it.
Okay.
Whole composition. I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, that sounds like it's pretty exciting work to do. So you're going there, you're working at home, you're finding melodies and finding rhythms that work, and then you're able to just put the whole thing together yourself. That's basically how that works. Okay. Yes.
So it's very empowering at the same time, like daunting, being that like I have complete creative control and all these options. And it's also like I have complete creative control.
Yeah, when the choices get unlimited, then it's harder. You have to actually create restrictions. You have to create a box to stay in so that you don't go off into too many different directions. So yes, yeah. Understandable. Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. Are you familiar with an artist named Jacob Collier?
Yes.
Yeah, because it just brings that to mind, because he goes online and he does all of those sessions. I don't know if it's Logic or what he's doing, but he just records whole pieces with layers and layers and layers and layers and layers. And it's unbelievable. It's like, wow.
Yep.
So,
of course, doing all of it. I'm like, good on you, mate. So it's very inspiring to see a cat like him out here. Just seeing a protege of Herbie Hancock in the 21st century. I've seen him a few times in the Quincy Jones documentary, which that was also very inspiring for me during this time, was a documentary on Quincy Jones.
Yes.
Just the amount of work ethic and just self-determination. Really, that's really all it boiled down to. So it's all the grace. That cat like had a blood clot on stage and he didn't fall over. I'm like, never catch him slipping. You never catch Quincy Jones slipping.
Yeah, he's amazing. Who was it? Jamie Foxx in one of those biographies that talked about, and he showed up at a party and Quincy was like, "Oh yeah, meet all these famous people," and they're just living in his living room, and he was like, "What? Who knew that life was like this, or could be like this?"
Yeah, exactly. It's just very casual. Just, I think I'm going to invite Barack Obama and Michelle Obama. Yeah, that'll be.
I know, to have that kind of swagger and be able to back it up. That's amazing.
Exactly. Just to see the fruits of your labor just over years. It's fantastic. So it's a big inspiration for me, especially at my age, just with being a 20-some millennial as an artist can be it's a different time. It's a different time to be a 20-something.
That's
I
true.
Think it might not be. I feel like it is.
It is. It definitely is. You're dealing with things people didn't have to deal with. But my generation, probably 30 years ahead of you, something like that. Maybe 25, somewhere in there. But we had AIDS. to deal with. Yeah. You know, and we still have it. It's not gone away, but it's at least it, at the time when I was coming up, it was a death sentence. So
yeah, that was like novel at the time. It was just a whole new disease.
Yeah. That nobody knew anything about it. Nobody knew how to work with it. But now there's drugs, and people have survived for 30 and 40 years now with AIDS, full-blown AIDS and HIV. But back when I was coming up, that everybody was dying left and right. Crazy number of people. So it was COVID of the day.
That's a daunting reality.
Yeah. And the social dilemma was the part that it was in the lesbian, gay, bi community more is where it was showing up first. And so there was a whole stigma against it and against getting treatment because it was just a gay disease. So therefore, we're not going to help you. That was the sentiment of the time. So there's some parallels to what's going on now with COVID and the Black Lives Matter movement and all of that. Every age has their fight.
Yeah, most definitely. It's true. So, it's true. There's also another thing that I'm pretty excited to get back into again is for several months during the summer, I was protesting in Detroit with Detroit Will Breathe on the streets. So that was, I felt like I was doing some very, very important work over there, being on their drum line and everything. And following the chants was like a very, very much unique thing as a drummer. Like, it's different from any marching band that I've ever been in because we're not setting the tempo per se. We're following the chants. And so we're following like the rhythm and language first. And so all we're doing is just like stirring things up so that everybody can keep moving forward with knowing full well what we're here for. Mm-hmm. You know, it keeps people like pretty much on focus for the cause of, that we're doing. You know, there's so many different chants and so many different rhythmic phrases that are coming out every time. So that's also another thing that's pretty much kept me inspired during this time too.
It's like it's so needed for people to be out there marching and protesting and fighting, but at the same time, there's a lot of fear around that because we don't want to lose you. We don't want to see another young brother hurt or harmed or killed. So it's like making that choice to go out there and do that takes a lot of courage. So I appreciate that. I appreciate that. When you work on your music in future or even presently, are you taking that into account? Is that part of your psyche, you think, when you're writing? Are there more songs of protest in there, or are there just things inspired by protest and the fight for justice?
Well, lately, I found that it's very holistic, the way it's seeped into my head, the way that it's seeped into my subconscious and everything. Because it was very intense. The way that I've ended up finding it is just in the back of my head, the way a beat might come to me, the way a rhythm might be played, like literally, and also the way I might react to certain things when playing live as well. But it's just honestly giving me a lot of context for those that came before me and you know, how tough it must have been for generations before me in the 20th century. I have a whole different perspective, and I'm just thinking about really making art that's conducive to biomes of safety, biomes of cleanliness, because I feel like that's just one of the most important things when you're out here as a person of color, as a woman, as somebody in the LGBT community, feeling like every day when you go out of your house that you might be looked at or discriminated against. So just making a happy place, a safe place for someone to go to feel like they could call some sort of home or some respite.
Yeah. That's a worthy thing to do. I feel like that's our place as artists, is to create a culture of a world we want to see. And by just creating that vibration out into the world, in either it be a color vibration or movement vibration or rhythm vibration or a writing or spoken word vibration, that creates that culture in the reality. And then we just keep doing it more and more. The more we make, the more that's out there, the more the world changes. And people might say that's magic in a sense, but it's also just pure science, because it's sending out a vibration that's vibrating everybody else at that vibration that you're at, as opposed to if there's a lower vibration than everybody goes there, then we're in trouble. So we have to raise the vibration higher, because music is going to bring things up and not bring things down. So it, because if you vibrate something at any pitch at all, it's going to vibrate everything in the room at that pitch. But that's just science.
Yeah, it's going to resonate.
Yeah, it is. So if we resonate everybody at a higher level, it's going to happen. So every artist I see or talk to, I just say keep making art, because it makes all the difference in the world. And people don't think, in the United States especially, they don't like to fund us as a country. Mm-hmm. But we have to keep going anyway and just make art, because we make art because we make art. That's what we do. But it, if we have that added purpose of I'm changing the vibration of this world to be raised up, then we're going to do great things. So I see that, yeah. And that you're doing that, you're using that pathway, and thank you for doing that. So
thank you. It's what we have to do, just like how a mockingbird tweets or how a woodpecker pecks wood. Just is natural. It's innocent. What we have to do. So no matter how the career unfolds itself, or whatever benchmarks of capitalist success one achieves, the art's gonna take care of itself. The art's gonna take care of itself, and mm-hmm. I feel like it's always gonna take care of the person. It's always gonna take care of the artist.
You keep taking care of your mental health, your physical health, we're working on the social health, working on the cultural health. It's all going to be a better world. As far as projects that are on your bucket list, do you have anything that you've said that, oh, I have this thing that I'm going to do someday, no matter what? Do you have something like that on your mind or in the back of your mind?
I'd really love to see some of my work like featured with the Metropole Orchestra. I think that would be really dope. I'd love to make music with Nicholas Payton or Robert Glasper. I'd love to become one of their proteges and one of their drummers. That'd be awesome. Honestly, that's what I can think of right now. I know as soon as we stop recording, I'm gonna be like, "Oh, yo, you know what? I wanted to star in a feature movie for Pixar. I was Jean-Michel Basquiat."
There used to be a television show many years ago on public broadcasting, and it was called Meeting of the Minds. And they would have different characters from history have a dinner party, and they'd talk to each other. So they would have Robespierre from the French Revolution and Joan of Arc and Thomas Edison all sit down at dinner, and they'd be in costume and they'd talk. So if you were going to have a Meeting of the Minds dinner, who would you have at that table?
Minds dinner.
Could be anybody, living or dead.
Wow. So I would definitely love to share space with Elvin Jones and John Coltrane. Really, especially somebody, if I could get him to talk, I'd love to get like somebody really compelling, like Phineas Newborn, the pianist, just to hear some of his take on things. Especially as well, like philosophers. I'm really into philosophers and like black historians, like Dr. Frances Cress Welsing.
Okay.
I'd love to share space with her. and somebody like Jean-Paul Sartre. Mm-hmm. That would be my iconoclast. I want to go there and just, and it's all over my head and I love it.
That would be an amazing conversation for sure. You'd want to have a tape recorder in the room or your phone or something to record that sucker. That'd be great. So,
oh, sure, thanks.
Along those lines, Desert Island Disc.
Okay. That's going to be tough. Okay, so we have We Three, Finest Newborn, Roy Haynes, and Paul Chambers. We have also Speak No Evil by Wayne Shorter. Mm. We also would have, which album is this? Not Dinner Party. Oh, this is such a tough one. The most recent Chris Dave and the Drumheads album, Smokestack by Andrew Hill, and Working Together, Lawrence Williams, Marcus Belgrave.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. Because some of those I've never heard. So now I've got a new list.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. There's so many. And so you get stuck. You're like, oh, gosh, I can't even remember the name of that particular one. But that one where this guy was playing this thing, because after a while, the stuff gets in your brain and it's all mixed together, especially when you're creating.
Just especially in like the YouTube age where there's just so many amazing like live concerts that are not, you're not gonna find anywhere else but YouTube.
Exactly. So fantastic. Tell us again about your new project that's going to be coming out soon.
Yes, you can look for The Fugitive on my YouTube, Tariq Gardner, on my SoundCloud, Reed Passion, and on all my other social media, my Instagram, royal.reek, and my Facebook, Tariq Gardner.
Okay. So thank you so much for talking with me today and being on the show. And I'm very excited to hear the new work that you do and to watch you continue to make good music and create culture in the world. So thank you for being on Tia Time.
Thank you for bringing me here, Tia. This was a great time. Really glad we got a chance to chat.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us this week on Tia Time with Artist. Make sure to visit our website, tiaviolin.com, where you can subscribe to the show in iTunes and never miss an episode. Please leave us a rating wherever you listen to podcasts. We really appreciate your comments and will mind them to bring you more amazing episodes. I would like to thank this inaugural season sponsors, the folks at Jazz Alliance of Mid-Michigan, or JAM. Michigan Arts Share, a program of Michigan State University Extension, is a partner in supporting the Tia Time podcast and Sham Bones Music. Without their support, this podcast would not be possible. Thank you so much. If you would also like to contribute to the show, you can find us on patreon.com. If you want to continue the conversation about topics discussed on the show or start new ones with like-minded people, join us at the Tia Time Lounge on Facebook. Thank you for listening. See you next week at Tia Time. Thank you for joining us this week on Tia Time with Artist. Make sure to visit our website at tiaviolin.com, where you can subscribe to the show and never miss an episode. Please leave us a rating at Apple Podcasts to expand the reach of the show. We really appreciate that help. And we'd also like to say thank you so very much to our sponsors, Michigan ArtShare, a program of Michigan State University Extension, and Cold Plunge Records. And also all of our Patreon supporters. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you. We'll see you next week at Tia Time.